and welcome to Creative Essence with Ash and Natusa, space where we meet the key players in creative industry and ask questions you're thriving to know. Welcome back. Today we are sitting with Sally McKinnon. Sally is the founder and the creative director of Styled by Sally, Melbourne's leading personal stylist and wardrobe consultant. She established Styled by Sally in 2007 and not shortly after introduced Stylist for Men and Men's Online Stylist as an extension to her very successful business. Sally's grand establishment has been featured in The Age, Melbourne Weekly Magazine, and The Weekly Review. The Styled by Sally teams are the official stylists of the Melbourne Emporium and the Melbourne Central. She works throughout the CBD with different brands and designers, and she's also the vice president of City Precinct. Thank you. Welcome, Sally.
Thank you, Atusa.
Now, let's start by telling our audience more about your profession and the services you offer within your business.
So Styled by Sally, as you said, I launched in 2007, and it really is providing personal styling services for men and women of Melbourne. So what we really do at Styled by Sally is educate and teach people how to dress, how to shop, how to put together outfits that all work together, and really take the stress and the hassle out of shopping for themselves, which most people find very, very daunting. So at Styled by Sally, we really do help guide our clients to creating a wardrobe that works for their lifestyle and really importantly works for their budget. So that could be through our personal shopping service, which happens to be our most popular service, but it could also be through our wardrobe edit and wardrobe styling service, which is where we visit clients in their home and actually go through their existing wardrobe, teach them what works, what doesn't, help them put new combinations together, identify what gaps are in their wardrobe, and really give them the confidence to dress in a more successful way.
Very interesting. I'm sure a lot of people are going to give it a brainstorm right now. I think we all need it. There's so much stuff lying in our wardrobes which we don't even use, and we get confused when we go to shop, what to buy, what not to buy.
Absolutely. There's that famous quote, statistic, something along the lines of, we wear 20% of our wardrobes 80% of the time. And when I first came up with my business back in 2007, this was there was the internet, but I didn't need to have a website. It was certainly pre-social media, no Facebook, no Instagram. So I took out good old-fashioned print advertising in the Melbourne Weekly, and my catch cry was, wardrobe full of clothes and nothing to wear, ? And the phone started ringing that day, because I think that question really resonated with people, at that time mostly women, who were opening their wardrobes every day, were seeing a complete full wardrobe, but standing there and saying, I've got nothing to wear, which of course is rubbish, you do, but that's where having an expert come in and teach you and educate you and show you how to wear your wardrobe can make just such a difference.
Thanks, Sally, very informative. How did you start and the overview of your achievements so far?
So I guess I really just started, and this is a question I get asked a lot. So 13 years ago, I really just did, as I said, I took out advertising in a local magazine or local newspaper, really, and I did very carefully and cautiously and deliberately choose the type of area to promote my business, which was the eastern suburbs of Melbourne, so sort of Camberwell, Hawthorne, that area. I took out some print advertising, obviously had a logo designed and had all of that designed, and the phone just started ringing. And I'll never forget turning up to my first job, which happened to be a full day of work. I started the day with a wardrobe edit, and then I met a client at Chadstone for shopping. Now, back in 2007, I was a primary school teacher as well, working 4 days a week. So this was on my Friday that I had taken off to start building the business. And I'll never forget, and I often do think I should contact those women because I remember who they are, because they had no idea that I was a teacher, that they were my very first clients, because, of course, I just had to fake it till I made it. Fair to say I did. And I just remember it being so exciting. So, you know, just through that piece of advertising, I booked my first two clients in maybe, you know, a couple of weeks' time and turned up and did my very first official paid wardrobe edit, then turned up to Chadston and did my very first official paid personal shopping session, feeling very, very nervous. But, I mean, from those two experiences, I just knew I was in the right place.
Thanks for sharing that. But what actually brought you to BEAT in the industry? You're a primary school teacher that time.
Mm-hmm.
What actually made you think, okay, I'm just going to advertise this? Like, what was the main reason behind it?
So I guess I saw that there was an absolute need in the market for personal styling. I had grown up watching Trini and Susanna, What Not to Wear. You ladies are a little bit younger, so you might not remember them. But I used to just love watching them. And as I watched them style everyday women, which was the premise of the show. It wasn't styling celebrities. It was just going into everyday women's homes, going through their wardrobes. They probably did criticize people for their choices, certainly a lot more than I did. That's never been my way of doing things. It's always been very subtle and very sympathetic and encouraging rather than, I mean, I suppose I'm not doing it on a TV show. So it made for good television, you know, these women being, you know, pretty upfront with their customers' choice of clothing. So when I would watch Trini and Susanna, I would watch it and think, I know exactly that. I know what they're saying. I know that that doesn't suit her for that reason. I know that the belt should be put there or the length is not right. So it really made sense to me. And I'd always loved clothing. I'd always loved shopping and styling. And I just thought, you know what? Why? What have I got to lose? Why don't I just give it a go? And when I took my long service leave after teaching for 10 years, I emailed my principal at the time and said, look, I'm coming back, obviously, to work, but can I work 4 days? And so for 2 years, I just, in every, you know, spare second that I had, the Friday that I had off, weekends, weeknights, the occasional sneaky half day off work saying I had to go to a dentist appointment, I just started to build up my business. And as I said, the phone started ringing, you know, then people would refer other people, and it just really organically happened. So I think 2007 was absolutely a great time to start my business because, as we probably all know, the personal styling industry is now a lot bigger than it used to be. But I think back then, you know, I just hit the nail on the head. There was an absolute need for it. And yeah, just women loved it.
Basically, a stepping out of your comfort zone and letting go of that security that comes with a 9-to-5, mm-hmm. you know, work that is, yeah. you know,
fortnightly paycheck.
Exactly, contracted, and then you get this income that you're looking forward to every second week.
Yeah,
it's very hard. Would you have any advice for aspiring or upcoming entrepreneurs who want to start their own styling business?
Yes, I do think it would be a very hard business to get into right now. I'm not going to lie. And I guess that is, I think, firstly, because there are stylists like myself and a couple of others that have been around for a long time. And so therefore, we have very good websites, and don't underestimate the power of a good website. You know, I've spent a lot of money and invested a lot of money into my website over the last 10 years. And so that's why when you go to Google and you Google personal stylist Melbourne, I come up number one all the time. So, but you know, I pay a lot of money for that as well. But also Google gives preference to websites that have been around for a long time. So there's that side of things. I guess the other side of things is social media. It is very easy to establish yourself as a stylist, you know, anything in all honesty, on the likes of Instagram. You can say that whatever you want to say, you can be whoever you want to be on Instagram. But if no one's calling you and paying your bills, then that's, you know, that's not really working. So I guess what my advice would be is that really find your passion and follow your passion. But I think whenever you're starting up a business, you can't just assume that you can leave your job, you know, your 9-to-5 job, as you said, your salary, and just start a business and be a success overnight. I certainly wasn't a success overnight. So I think still keep your job and just be prepared to work 24/7 outside of that to build your business, build your reputation, build your name, get out there and network, go to events, meet other people, spread the word, be known. Because I think a lot of what my success has been built on the relationships that I've built over the years with people.
Throughout your time with your business, have you tried any marketing and PR strategies that have worked best for you and perhaps what hasn't been very successful?
I haven't really done a lot, in all honesty, in that realm, but I did work with a social content creation company. Mm-hmm. Earlier this year for about 3 months. We had a three-month contract together, and that was fantastic. And the purpose for that was purely to grow my Instagram organically, so to have a bit of a plan. So over that 3 months, we had photo shoots. We would have a theme of the week. They actually would write the content for my Instagram posts, obviously with my approval, which was often me editing it just to make sure that it had my voice, because I felt that that was the hardest thing, is sort of giving over control to someone else. So it needed to be a little bit more of a partnership, which it was in the end, which I was really happy with. But I got a lot of really good feedback from followers on Instagram who said they really liked the direction that I was going in. So it was all to grow my Instagram, but also to grow my reputation as the Melbourne stylist. So, you know, the leading Melbourne personal stylist. What that also did for me, though, was working with this particular company is the got some great collaborations with brands. So, you know, as a personal stylist, I'm shopping in the high street all the time, working with brands like Suzanne, like Witchery, like Country Road, like Elk. And so they were able to leverage those relationships, and we ran some really great competitions, which got great engagement on Instagram, found me new followers, and then the best thing was that the brands themselves reposted the photo. So that's just how things are these days, you know. Gone are the days where you would take out, spend a lot of money on marketing or PR, but it's more about building that sort of social brand and my own personal brand as Sally McKinnon. So that's probably the most successful thing that I've done, and I'm certainly looking forward to doing a bit more of that as well.
Thanks, Ollie. Very insightful. Thanks for sharing it with the audience. Was there anything that you did that did not work?
Oh, yeah. Did I? I've probably done plenty of things that haven't worked, but I guess what I have to take from that is that you're never going to know unless you try. Over the years, it might be, you know, when you're starting your business, you get asked to do a lot of things for free. So when you're beginning and you're trying to establish those relationships and reputations, as I mentioned, you tend to say, okay, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do this or I'll do that. And what the person on the other side of the phone or the email or whatever thinks that, oh, well, we're going to put you in front of potentially 10, 20, 100 new customers. So, you know, we'll put you in front of the customers, but we won't pay you. So back in the day, I would do those sorts of events or opportunities. But in actual reality, nothing really comes back. So I've had to really put say no to doing things for free, because at the end of the day, I still do have to pay my bills and it's my business. And you're paying me because I'm me, and you're paying me for my knowledge and skills and experience. So maybe along those lines, I'd probably say, not that they were a mistake, but you sort of do them initially, but then you learn from them, and then you sort of direct your time and energies into other things that work better.
Talk about the different aspects of growth that you achieved through the social media content creation, but we know you're very actively and well-known in a lot of spheres outside Style by Sally. Would you touch base on sort of your involvement and achievements outside your personal styling business?
So I would probably say that my biggest achievement thus far, and a lovely acknowledgement, was getting my Lord Mayor's commendation. So, and that was for having a business in the CBD for over 10 years. So, obviously I live in the CBD, so I have my business address as my home address, but I also now exclusively only work in the CBD. So I don't go to Chadstone or Doncaster. I do all my personal shopping, personal styling in the CBD. So that was a really lovely achievement and acknowledgement, because because, you know, over 10 years I have brought a lot of business to the CBD and the CBD retailers who really appreciate it. And, you know, many of them have become my good friends and, you know, has led to other sort of collaborations. But other achievements, I guess my BU Be Fabulous events that I have been running with my friend Sarah Connors, they've been really successful and very encouraging and really, you know, bringing together an amazing group of women to talk about ageless style or style and sustainability and those sort of things. And it's been nice to run those events, styling workshops. And the people that come to them are the people who are my clients, maybe follow me on Instagram or Facebook, haven't necessarily met me. But it's nice, like I met you, Ash, on my walking tour a few years ago.
I was just going to mention that.
It's really nice to meet people who you've never actually met face to face, but they feel like they know you because they follow you on social media. And on social media, of course, we're in the age of sharing everything we do. Not everything, but, you know, they see a sort of a curated aspect of my life. And it's really nice that they come and support those events that I do.
Thanks for your mention about the CBD and exclusively you shopping here. But we do know that you have a team outside there.
Yes.
Would you want to tell us a little bit about your team and possibly the areas they look after?
Sure.
But also, if you are looking for any new people to join your team or interns, because I know a lot of people listening right now definitely want to know that.
Yes. So I have two lovely women who work for me, Lorraine and Anne, and they've both been with me for over 4 years now. Lorraine was the first stylist I employed to be part of Style by Sally, and Lorraine and I have known each other for many, many years. She was a buyer at Witchery, Sports Girl, Sports Craft. So growing up, I met Lorraine in my early 20s. She was my fashion friend and I was the teacher. And then sort of our paths kept crossing and through mutual friends. And then years later, she now works for me. So it's sort of pretty exciting. And Anne has been working with me for about 4 years, and they're both fantastic. They're both quite different, but end of the day, they both represent my ethos to working with clients, everyday women and men, just being very personable, very open, very relaxed, very friendly, but also really, really good stylists. So as you said, Ash, I work exclusively in the CBD, but if a client does want to work out at Chadstone or Doncaster, for example, both Lorraine and Anne can work out there. I used to work out at High Point quite a lot, and look, and I probably, if it was real, you know, if someone really couldn't make it to the city, I would make my way out to High Point. But the reason why I can generally encourage people to come into the city is because of all the relationships that I have with the retailers in the CBD, and therefore all the really great discounts that I get. So it's worth someone's time to come and meet me in the city, because they'll pretty much save their session fee on the discounts I get. And to your other question about internships and work experience, I get asked a lot and I get lots and lots of emails. And it's one of those things that's, I think, a little bit tricky in my industry, because it is personal styling. You know, you're working with everyday men and women who are often already vulnerable. They're not confident. And so having someone sort of tag along, being part of that process, in my opinion, is a little bit tricky. Sorry to say, but yeah, it's a hard one to take interns and so forth and work experience, because also my hours are so odd. You know, they're here, there and everywhere. So it's not like I can say, well, we'll meet here at 9 o'clock and we'll finish at 5. Every day is very, very different. And that's not to say that wouldn't work, but let's just say I haven't found a way to make that work yet.
Do you perhaps think that having a styling degree is an important thing nowadays?
Well, I don't have one. Yeah. And there certainly wasn't anything of the kind when I started my business in 2007. So I really look now at the courses that are around, and there are quite a few. Even RMIT University is now doing a Diploma of Fashion Styling. And I've actually worked with the students there for a few years in a row, talking to them about the personal styling industry. But in brief, Atusa, my answer to that is no, you don't need a degree. I think styling is just, it's innate. It's either in you or it's not.
What do you think think is the importance of having in a stylist, a personal stylist?
Well, I think the most important thing that our clients get out of our services is confidence. The reason people use the services of a personal stylist is to have some direction, but also some support and guidance, I suppose. So for anyone, male, female, who is really struggling to shop for their shape, to shop for their age, to know what suits their works for their budget, to put an entire wardrobe of clothing together, having a personal stylist sort of help you navigate the shops, even navigate your own wardrobe, as we discussed earlier, just takes all that stress and hassle out of that whole process.
Now we all know the importance of having a personal stylist. What are your key tips when building a wardrobe?
Key tips. So, interestingly, my way of styling has changed probably quite considerably over the last 13 years. So, probably because of, I'll blame Trini and Susanna, because they were very rules-based. I mean, they've even got, I've got books here, The Rules. That's what their books were called. And it was very, you know, if you've got big boobs, the rules are this. You do this and you do not do that. And so when I started my business, I was very rules-driven as well, as I think probably most personal stylists were, and to a degree probably most are now. But I've changed in that, for me, I really teach women and men to trust their instincts and wear what makes them feel good. So if we're talking about building a wardrobe, a great wardrobe, I would honestly say try your clothes on and ask yourself how you feel in them, whether it's a pair of pants, a jeans, a jacket, a dress, whatever. And if you feel really good in something, if something makes you feel confident, it makes you feel all the positive affirmations that you want to feel wearing clothing, whether it's sexy, confident, young, whatever, strong, powerful, then they're probably the right clothes for you. So I know I've answered that question in a bit of a roundabout way, but I just think, yeah, start off by having clothes in your wardrobe that you love to wear and you enjoy. When I edit a client's wardrobe and I start, the first question I will ask them is, tell me something you really like in your wardrobe. What do you love to wear? And the number of times a woman, particularly, can't even show me one piece. They literally dislike their entire wardrobe. I think that's really, really sad. So get rid of all the stuff that you don't love, that makes you feel shit, that makes you feel fat, old, frumpy, whatever, and wear the stuff that makes you feel good.
Has it ever been a styling session that you worked with a client and somehow it became more memorable to you?
It's always interesting when I get asked this question because, again, I get asked it a lot about, you know, what's the most memorable client. And in all honesty, they sort of all are, but I'm going to focus on one in particular. It was a woman I'm still working with. I don't see her often. I might see her every few years. But when I first met this particular client, I edited her wardrobe first, and I remember at the time she just had a really small mirror on the top of like a chest of drawers. So really the only part of her body she could see in the mirror was her shoulders and her head. And I had the discussion with her, we'll call her Jane. I said, oh, Jane, now do you have a full-length mirror? No. Okay, well, you need to get one because we need, you know, you need to be able to see what you look like from head to toe. Didn't think anything else of it, and then we went shopping a few weeks later. And then after trying a few things on, I realized that she was not looking at herself in the mirror once. So when she tried clothes on, she would just turn around and look at me. It took me a while to catch on what was happening. She could not look at herself in the mirror until I asked her.
I actually got goosebumps listening to this story.
So she was completely reliant on me to say, yep, Jane, that works. Yep, okay, this is good. Or no, she was not looking in the mirror to assess it for herself. She couldn't do it. But I made her do it. I encouraged her gently to do it. There were tears, a lot of them. We stopped the session. We had a coffee. We had a chat. And she just felt overwhelmed. You know, she's avoided looking at herself in a mirror for many, many, many years, but realized that she needed to. And then we got back on the horse and we went back shopping, And it was hard for her, but she did. She looked at herself in the mirror so I could teach her and show her, look how good you look. Look where this is fitting you. Look how this, you know, works on your body shape. So I'd probably say that was one of the, I've had many of those though, but if I think of one that was pretty, was probably the first time a client had broken down.
Sally, if you could go back in time and change something or do something differently, what would it be?
This is actually my husband's advice, not my own, because I don't think I would do anything differently. I think I built the brand very organically and slowly and cautiously. But my husband, who I didn't know when I started Style by Sally, and he said that you should never, ever put your name in your business because obviously the name is me, it's Styled by Sally, but I've also got Styled by Anne and Styled by Lorraine, and I've had a Prue. So if one day I want to sell my business, which is probably likely when I'm retired and had enough, you know, the brand has my name in it. So how can someone else be Styled by Sally? That's his little tip. I don't know whether I regret it. I think it's brand building. I think it's very, you know, now 12, 13 years on, it's very much my brand. You know, I am known as Styled by Sally, but I also see his point.
We all know you are the fashion guru for us, especially for me, when I've seen you starting and doing all this. One trend you wish never existed?
Oh, one trend. I would say it was a hair trend, but nonetheless, it was a very big trend, and that would be perms. Perms in the 1980s, and we all had them.
I'm with you.
Yeah. And I don't think I think curly hair is beautiful, but the perms in the 80s were just terrible.
What's next for Sally?
What's next? I guess we haven't probably touched on a lot, but certainly continuing to build the men's side of my business, which has been growing very quickly and organically over the last 5 years. So whilst it comes under the umbrella of Styled by Sally, I sort of have a slightly different persona, Stylist for Men. I have got its own little Instagram account, and they're sort of my specialty. So I've also really building on cementing that sort of being the expert, the men's style expert, which I'm doing pretty well at already. So really continuing on the men's side of things. And I guess in the immediate future, nothing terribly exciting or any events. I suppose they've all sort of gone for the year, but I'm really busting to get to 10,000 Instagram followers.
Your five favourite brands?
Basic, Scanlan Theodore, Etre Cecile, Ganni, and Camilla and Mark.
Favourite item in your closet?
My mum's engagement ring.
Most favourite coffee shop around town?
Neapoli.
Most cherished fashion item in your closet?
Probably my Chanel bag.
Your style icon?
Well, this is not going to be a quick answer, but I actually don't really have a style icon. For me, my inspiration and icons come from Instagram.
A motto you live by?
I just sort of think, you know, you've got one life, just live it.
Thank you so much, Sally. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you. And we are sure us in the audience are walking back with a lot of information and insight.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
We will be back with our next episode soon. DM us if you have any questions. We would love you to follow us on Instagram at creativeessence.media. You can subscribe, rate, and review us too on the platform you're listening. Thank you so much.